This is Tri-State's Public Radio News. Last month's solar eclipse inspired hundreds of thousands of people to look to the sky as the moon blocked out the sun. Among them were NASA employees who used the eclipse to conduct experiments. Tri-State's Public Radio's Jason Parrott talked about them with a NASA administrator who grew up in southeast Iowa.
Jim Green is the director of planetary science for NASA. He says the agency started planning for the eclipse in early 2016. Green says NASA stationed itself at 10 locations along the eclipse's path. He says one thing the agency did at the sites was look specifically at the sun's lower corona during the eclipse.
That's actually very hard to do from satellites, but because the moon exactly blocks off the surface of the sun at totality, we actually can make some measurements that we hadn't made before. So that was really critical. So that was a no-brainer. That's what we were going to do. We also knew that if we launched balloons along the path and got them up to about 100,000 feet, when the moon blocks the sun's light, it also blocks some of the ultraviolet light. And at 100,000 feet, you're above an ozone. And so it's actually ultraviolet light and the temperature and pressure matches Mars perfectly. So I launched on 30 of 57 balloons that were all along the path, a little strip of bacteria, Penobacillus, and that is a very hardy bug. It's important for us to determine if life as we know it, and bacterial life as we know it, would survive on Mars. And so we're in the process of retrieving those coupons with bacteria on it, and we'll bring them together. We have a control for each strip that stayed on the ground and one went up in the balloon. And now we're going to match that. We're going to see what that environment did to the bacteria. And that's a fundamental set of observations on how life might survive in these harsh environments. So it was a perfect opportunity to do that.
It almost seems like it was an opportunity to promote science in a way that everybody, maybe some people that aren't fans of science, could get behind. It almost seems that was that opportunity also.
Well, that wasn't missed on us, indeed. You know, when you think about everybody that saw that, there might be several thousand kids for which this event was so impressive to them. They want to learn more about the moon, and then they want to learn more about the sun, and then they want to do well in school, and then they want to become scientists or engineers. Indeed, we want that to happen. We want to promote that. You know, my own personal experience here in Burlington, the events that happened around me really propelled me forward. These events I call gravity assists. It's a planetary science term for which as you fly by a planet, the gravity from that planet can fling you. And in a way, certain events happen in our life that then, you know, when kids have the right background, the right inclination, and they get excited about something because of whether it was an event or a book they read or a teacher they had or where they were at a particular time, when they really got it, and then that helped form an interest in a particular area. So that gravity assist is so important to give the opportunity to our kids of this nation to understand, hey, this is an exciting event, and you can be part of it in the future. You can design experiments, or you can become an engineer. It's so important for us to raise the scientific literacy of our kids.
You obviously had the 10 or so locations that NASA was set up at. Did you take advantage of crowdsourcing and gathering information from people watching it in maybe locations that you weren't there? Did NASA do any type of like crowdsourcing during this?
We thought about that, but it makes it a little bit more complicated. It was tough enough, actually, to get our film crews there, get set up, and work with the local radio and TV stations. One of our main objectives was safe viewing. Everywhere we wanted to make sure everyone understood safe viewing. And we created just an enormous number of those goggles, little glasses that we handed out. I mean, I constantly had 30 or 40 in my hand. Did you get yours? Did you get yours? You know, and I'm walking down the street. Did you get yours? And that was so very important to us that we did this safely. So that was job one. And I think for this nation, we did a good job in doing that. And then, of course, job two was let's do the unique science that we can only do taking advantage of this opportunity.
When does preparation begin for Eclipse 2024?
Oh, not for a while. I mean, this was This was exciting, but also tough enough. But what we'll do, as NASA does, is probably in a month or so after most of the activity is done and you know new products are posted, we'll have what's called the lessons learned. And those lessons learned will be written down, and that will be, you know, what we'll take forward in the 2024 eclipse. So did we plan ahead enough? Did we have enough resources? Did we reach enough people?
Jim Green is the Director of Planetary Science for NASA. He says the agency will release some of the data, images, and videos it collected during the eclipse. That will include footage from GoPro cameras attached to the 57 high-altitude balloons he mentioned that floated 100,000 feet in the air. Green is from Burlington. He returned to town following the eclipse to celebrate the 30th anniversary of an observatory in the city. I'm Jason Parrott, Tri-States Public Radio News.